Good morning, Penguin Radio. You've got DJ Homeschool here with Real Life, and this is my 10th and final show, and it just, oh my gosh, it's amazing how quickly it got here. I just remember my first show and how now I'm so comfortable here in the studio and how Wednesday mornings have become my thing to be here on air with you guys and just bringing you the latest tips and tricks on staying real in your life. And it has been a really fun journey and I can't believe that it's actually almost over. We are getting some rain here today in NorCal and it is absolutely beautiful. I'm loving it. It woke me up actually, which was really nice. I love waking up to the sound of rain. I don't know about you guys, but it just makes me really happy. It's freezing cold outside. I'm bundled up here wearing my fuzzy socks and my UGG boots, and it's amazing. It was 28 degrees the other day in my hometown where I'm getting ready to go for Thanksgiving this upcoming week, and I'm just so excited for that. That might be a little bit cold. I might not enjoy it that much, but I'm still really excited to go to the desert of Arizona in the high desert. Most people think that it only gets really, really hot there, but it also gets really, really cold. So I'm excited to experience a little bit of the winter temperatures because we are very lucky here in NorCal. We do not get those crazy, well, at least in the Bay Area, we don't get those crazy, crazy colds. But I just wanted to talk about how I'm really excited for this upcoming week of Thanksgiving. And of course, it wouldn't be a Thanksgiving week without Thanksgiving tradition talk on the show coming up for you. But I just wanted to keep you all updated. I know how much I talk about staying organized and doing your homework and getting things done. And I finally finished my paper, my big, big paper. I know I've talked about this on air that was worth like 20% or 25% of my grade in two of my classes. And I finished yesterday with like 15 minutes to spare to turn it in. But I'm feeling a little bit more confident about the paper than when I first started. It was a really long road, lots of long, long nights or early mornings, whichever way you choose to look at that. But it was really fun, actually, towards the end of it, because I realized how great of a support system I have here at school. I have a ton of friends, and we're always willing to support each other and proofread each other's paper and give each other advice and just be there when one of us is crying, because that inevitably happened. And it was just really cool to kind of look back on it and see where we have come from and how the journey that we've taken to get here. You know, we're juniors and seniors now, and we started out as little baby freshmen, not really knowing each other, having a clue what was in store for us later on in college, and working on our first film projects. We all had a class together. There were four of us girls yesterday working on our papers together in the library, and we kind of stopped when we were almost done, and we all kind of realized, oh my gosh, this was our same group of four girls that we took Art of Film together our freshman year. And it was just really amazing to see the transformations and the friendships that had formed and just kind of realize that we're still there for each other. We were there for each other when we first got to school, and we've been able to maintain that bond throughout the last few years. And it was just a really, really cool experience. I mean, it was a little bit stressful. There were people crying, some people less organized than others, some people more organized than others. But, you know, everyone has their own thing. Like, I needed to plan it out, and, you know, I planned and I outlined, and some people just sit down if they do better and free write, and they produced beautiful papers. And so it was just really fun to kind of be together and spend that time with each other. And, you know, I was feeling really lucky because I do have that ability. I'm blessed with that ability to stay up super late and write papers and do presentations. And, you know, I'm able to kind of stay up. You know, I cannot imagine being in college and having that struggle of not being able to stay awake and having to sleep a lot. And so that's something that catches up to me eventually. But you know, for the most part, it works out really well for me. You know, my dad always told me this quote, and it's my favorite quote. I have it everywhere. And it's hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And so that was just something that I kept in my mind all week while I was writing this paper. And hopefully I'll get a good grade on it. Teachers, if you're listening, hint, hint. But I just find that quote really inspirational, and I have it posted on my wall, written on my day planner, and I just want everyone to keep that in mind as, you know, especially the students, and, you know, as we approach final season, and everybody else as we approach the craziness of the holiday season or whatever life is bringing you, just keep that in mind, just keep your eye on the prize, keep working hard, and just do what you need to do to get your stuff done and make your life happier and healthier. So, okay, Penguin Radio, this is the last broadcast of Real Life, so let's get real. Coming up in beauty today, we are going to talk about the winter season. You know, the cold weather is really starting to approach in a lot of places. You know, it's snowing some places. And so I want to talk about what the cold weather can do to you and how you can kind of combat that. So, you know, there's that cold weather curse of a dull complexion. And so dehydrated skin cells, if your skin is dehydrated, they're going to turn over more slowly. And that's going to cause a buildup of dead skin. And when I read this, I was really amazed because I was looking at my cheeks and I had these little dry, kind of not rough, but these almost like flaky looking patches on my skin. And I thought, what in the world is that? Well, it's because there during the colder weather, your circulation gets sluggish. And then, therefore, that causes your skin cells to turn over more slowly. So that was really interesting to me. I thought, that's just a natural reaction to the colder weather. So there's a solution for you. And it's drinking lots of water. Amazingly enough, that is actually going to rehydrate your skin for you. Just as if you were giving water to a plant, give some water to your skin. And you can also load up on your omega-3s because that's really going to boost your hydration. And so if you're not a fan, you know, you can get it from, you know, essential fatty acids like salmon and walnuts are another good one. If you like walnuts, but if you don't like either of those foods, or maybe they're hard to come by, or you're on the go, or whatever it may be, you can take omega-3 supplements, and those will make sure that you get enough vitamins and to really help your skin kind of get that cellular turnover. There are also lots of creams that you can try, but those are, and I've talked about those, especially Juice Beauty Nutrient Moisturizer. That's my favorite one that I've been using. It's a really thick, creamy formula. And healthcare specialists recommend that you do start your day using a face cream, but the fish and the walnuts and the supplements and drinking lots of water will just keep you hydrated all throughout the day because you're not going to, like, continue to, you know, put on lotion throughout the rest of the day. However, the importance of putting a cream on is it needs to be really high on your to-do list because if you follow up your routine, you know, with your omega-3s with a cream or a balm, like a thicker lotion instead of like just a thin creamy face lotion, they're richer and they're going to hold more water in the skin. And if you can find one that have antioxidants, green tea antioxidants are a really popular one. And they're, you know, I've seen them all over, whether you want to buy a more prestige brand like at a healthcare store or whether you want to buy a drugstore brand, either one, whatever works for you. There are green tea facial balms available. And so that's something that you could try and see if it hydrates your skin. Also, emollients, which are like nut butters and oils, so coconut oil and coconut butter, those are really good for your skin. And those are really going to lock in that hydration during the cold winter months. So another curse that can happen from the cold weather is just kind of lackluster hair. And I noticed that this morning. It's really cold and it's damp. And I woke up and, you know, I'm very blessed to have fairly good hair. And
I woke up this morning and my hair was just kind of limp and dull and it didn't have any shine to it. And that's what happens. You know, your hair is getting depressed and it can get really, really dry, which can also bring on static cling. And in sweater season, that is the last thing that you want when your hair, you put on your sweater or put on your jacket or you're putting a scarf over your hair all the time, taking it off. And, you know, it's inevitably going to touch. And so it can be really annoying to have to deal with that fuzzy, frizzy hair all the time. So there are a couple things that you can do. And one of them is use extra conditioner. And it should include silicones. So find hair products that have silicone in them. And that's going to lock the outer cuticle layer and really seal in the moisture in your hair, even when it's windy and cold. And that's going to leave your hair feeling really silky and very soft. And that's going to neutralize the static electricity in your hair that can cause those flyaways or when you're taking your scarves and your jackets off and on. And there's a cosmetic chemist, and his name is Jim Hammer, and I read about him online, and he says that equally important are quaternary ammonium compounds, and those are more commonly known as quats if you're in the beauty industry. And that's going to also, it's going to give a nice chemical balance to your hair, and nothing crazy chemical balance. It's not going to, you know, light your hair on fire or burn your hair off your scalp, but that is going to allow for you to have soft hair that doesn't necessarily fly away. And one of these shampoos from the drugstore, this is available for around $4.75, so really budget friendly, is the Dove Intensive Repair Daily Treatment Conditioner. And you don't even have to use it every day if you don't want to, but that's a really thick, creamy conditioner that's really going to aid in that flyaway and just rehydrating your hair. So maybe you guys experience this. Some people in the cold experience dry and itchy scalp. I don't know. I've never really experienced that, but I have a bunch of friends, and my sister actually gets really dry and itchy scalp. And we notice in the winter months that, you know, those white flakes are falling, but from her head. And that is not exactly the kind of white flakes that you want during the holiday season, you know, getting on your black holiday dresses or, you know, aside from that, just the itching can be really irritating to your head, and then you're going to scratch it and damage your scalp. And it can be caused by dandruff, which is a whole nother story, or it can just be dry scalp, which is basically your run-of-the-mill dry skin. Just as, you know, your arms and your legs get really dry, so does your scalp. And so there's a solution, and again, it's hydrating shampoo and conditioner. And if those don't soothe your skin after about a week, you can try using a more intensive care product. If you're, you know, just the simple hydrating shampoo and conditioner, like that Dove Intensive Daily Repair, if that's not working, try something else. So, you know, it's just like clothes. You know, if clothes aren't working for you, you try something else and you see what works for you. And so you can get scalp treatments with Moroccan oil in them. And you pretty much, they're fairly simple to apply. You part your hair down the middle and then you apply the oil to your exposed scalp. And then you just keep making new parts and applying the oil and every half an inch. So you'll make a part like down the middle of your head, put some oil, move over a half an inch on either side and repeat and go all the way around your head. And so massage your scalp with that oil, just kind of rub it in there. It doesn't have to be super intensive. Just give it a nice little coat so your hair is nicely coated and just let it go for 15 minutes. Just make sure it's saturated and sit there. And then rinse it out with a nice conditioner, shampoo and conditioner, because your hair will be really, really oily. And, you know, if flakes still persist, you might have a little bit of a problem aside from dry scalp, which you can look up how to treat that online. You know, if you have dandruff, they have medicated shampoos that are for that. But if you just have your run-of-the-mill dry skin, Moroccan oil is a really great way to kind of combat that. I was experiencing some dry scalp up in Arizona, and you know, it's a lot drier up there. I don't experience it as much here anymore. But what was really great is I got a Moroccan oil shampoo, and it was something that would normally, I have really fine hair, and it's really soft, it's really wispy, but Moroccan oil is something that's usually too heavy for me. But when I was in Arizona, I needed to make that adjustment, and it was perfect. I picked it up at a local Ross, and I tried it, loved it, and now I keep that in under my bathroom sink just for days when, you know, it is really, really cold outside and the weather starts to change and it might get a little bit drier. So that's something I would encourage all of you to try if you are experiencing that an unfortunate dry scalp. So the last cold weather curse that we're going to talk about is cracked reptilian skin. And this can be caused by too many showers. You know, it's cold outside and we want to take extra hot and, you know, extra long. We wake up in the morning and it's still dark. And I don't know about you, but that just makes it 10 times harder for me to wake up if it's dark outside. I do not like waking up when it's dark. I want it to be bright and shiny out. You know, I took a nap the other day and I had a really funky sleep schedule. And so I ended up taking a nap and I woke up at like 5 something and it was already dark out. And I was like, what the heck? This is super weird. So waking up when it's dark outside is not my favorite thing. But hot showers are something that can combat that. However, that can cause dry skin, and not enough body cream is going to, you know, make your skin resemble the Arizona desert. And your arms and legs have fewer oil glands than the rest of your body, and so those are going to be a lot harder to hydrate, and they're going to be a lot drier and scalier than other parts of your body, especially in the winter. You know, say your face or, you know, whatever that may be. But your arms and legs are going to be a lot more difficult. So a cool trick that I learned was use milk. It's good for your body inside and out if that works for you. I'm lactose intolerant, so milk on the inside is not good for me. But they have natural fats and lactic acid in them. And so that can really soften your skin up and make it more able to hydrate. And it will lightly exfoliate your skin, and it's going to help reduce irritation if you're having some inflammation and redness and itching and irritation. And this is coming from Regina Voto, and she's a skincare specialist at the Paul Lebac Salon in New York City. And so her recommendation is to draw yourself a bath and add 2 cups of skim milk to warm water. And you don't want it to be really, really hot, because then the milk can scald, which that's just a whole nother story. You're getting into some cooking chemistry and you don't want to put your body into that. So draw yourself a bath and then soak for 15 minutes. And then you can just pat your skin dry. It's very simple, nothing major. And if you want to just super, super go the next mile, you can apply a milk and honey cream to boost the benefits of your skin. And I talked about one on the show, and I talked about Burt's Bees Naturally Nourishing Milk and Honey Body Lotion. It's about $10 at the drugstore, and that is her recommendation to help try and soothe your skin. So I thought that was a really great solution. You know, something that you have at home. Pretty much everyone always has milk at home. It's very simple. Just add it to a bath. Takes 15 minutes, and then you'll have rehydrated hair, rehydrated skin, and you'll just be feeling all fresh and fancy free for your upcoming holiday season. So we're going to take a quick break. I hope you enjoyed those cold weather tips. We're going to take a quick break right here on Penguin Radio, but stay here. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
And said, I'm sorry I didn't make it. And I said, I'm sorry too. And that was the moment I knew.
Welcome back, Penguin Radio. You are listening to DJ Homeschool here on Real Life. We just talked beauty and how to combat, you know, the winter weather, whether it be your hair or your skin. And we're going to kind of change tunes here. We're going to go into wellness. We're going to talk about how to stay on track with being healthy during the holiday season. And that's something that everyone has struggled with. And, you know, I'm kind of nervous. You know, I've been on my healthy eating kick, as a lot of you know, and I am kind of nervous for the holidays. And, you know, it's really difficult. It's one of the most difficult times of the year for people to stay healthy, and people really kind of revert to bad habits, and there's always so much food. You know, there's so many parties going around. There's a lot of alcohol. You know, there's no sleep, and a lot of people are traveling. And so I want to just talk about a few tips and tricks for the upcoming weeks to just kind of keep you in the right mindset and maybe inspire you to take the healthier road while everyone is, you know, throwing junk food in your face. And I'm really excited to make a couple healthy holiday dishes and kind of revamp the old tradition. You know, I am big on tradition, but I am really open to change. And so I plan on implementing a few of these things into my holiday routine. So hopefully they will, you know, kind of help you. The holidays are great, though. You know, it's a time that you get to spend with your family and friends and, you know, even go out to parties and see all of your friends from high school or, you know, college or your hometown or whatever it may be. And you're having a cookie here and some chocolate there and a little bit of pie here and a dash of eggnog there. And, you know, before you know it, you're ingesting so many calories and you're just feeling horrible. You know, I know that when I eat a lot of sugar and a lot of starchy foods and, you know, just breads, and it weighs me down and it makes me really, really tired. It makes me want to take a nap. I don't feel as well. And so hopefully I will be able to implement a few of these tricks here to, you know, see the holidays in a new light and realize that it doesn't have to revolve around eating junk food and being completely unhealthy. So here are a few tricks for getting through Thanksgiving specifically. And one thing that you can do is start the feast off, you know, on a healthy but filling note. So one of the tips is, instead of like eating a lot of dips, I know a lot of people have dip chips and dip, or creamy this and spinach artichoke that, and you know, those are really fatty appetizers and they are really delicious, but try having a lower calorie pre-dinner snack and maybe make some of those dips with Greek yogurt or fat-free sour cream. And that's going to be a way to cut nearly 1,000 calories. On average, I read a study, is that people eat on average 1,000 calories of appetizers before their Thanksgiving meal. Just in the appetizers. And that's amazing. And I can guarantee you I was one of those people, or am one of those people. I love to sit up there on the counter and talk to my grandma while she's in the kitchen. She refuses to let anybody else help her. But it's really easy to do. You're sitting there, you're munching, and you're just having a little bit of this and a couple scoops of that, and before you know it, you're so full even, you don't even want to eat your meal. So try having lower calorie vegetables and fruits before your meal and during your preparation and socialization. And a really easy way to do that is to place bowls of different colored vegetables without sauces on the table first. So, you know, put it either at the start of the buffet line or surround the other crackers and cheese or, you know, puff pastry this or that or whatever you may have. Put the colored vegetables, you know, put your broccoli out, your snap peas, your colored bell peppers, and your carrots and cucumbers and all of those really good fibrous vegetables. Put those out first. And this will allow people to cover a good portion of their plates with healthier choices before they get into the, you know, more calorie dense foods like stuffing and mashed potatoes and rolls, all of my favorite things. Stuffing is my absolute favorite part of Thanksgiving. If we had nothing but stuffing, I would honestly be a happy girl. My grandma makes the best stuffing in the entire world, and I literally just can't wait. Like, I'm on a countdown till I can have some of grandma's stuffing. So another trick is to serve salad as a first course, and I will be honest, we do not have salad at Thanksgiving.
That's not something that my family eats on Thanksgiving. We eat a lot of salad all the other 364 days a year. And so Thanksgiving is not one that we are big on salads. But if you do a traditional, you know, coursed Thanksgiving dinner, that is something that you could implement. Always serve your salad first, because that, you know, good roughage in your stomach will fill you up faster, and that way you might not go as heavy on the creamy mashed potatoes, even though they are so delicious. So just continue to try and make the vegetables the side dish stars of the show, and, you know, maybe even at least the co-stars. You know, try a new veggie recipe that packs in plenty of flavor without all the extra calories. One of the things that I'm going to make this Thanksgiving are the cauliflower mashed potatoes. I've had them before. The twins' mom makes them cauliflower chicken casserole, and it tastes like you're eating mashed potatoes with this really yummy shredded marinated chicken on top, and she bakes it and it gets it this little crispy chicken crust, but it's completely cauliflower and it is so good for you. It's full of fiber, not getting all that starch from the potatoes. So that's something that I'm going to try to do, to sneak in a few veggies. And another quick trick is sneak veggies into your dressing, you know, such as diced onions or celery or leeks. Leeks have been one of my new favorites. I hadn't really had leeks. And then one of my teachers, I went over to her house to work on a project for a blog, and a couple other students and I went over to work with her. She's our facilitator, and she was nice enough to have us over for lunch one day to kind of talk about our project, a little working lunch, and she made leeks, and they were so delicious. She put like some lemon and olive oil, and she marinated them up and just roasted them in the oven. And so roasted leeks in your salad or your salad dressing or just on the side, that is a really great way to sneak in a lot of green vegetables without really feeling like you're sitting down and eating a pile of, you know, mushy broccoli. So this one may come as a surprise to a lot of you, but to some, maybe not. Make gravy a choice. Gravy does not have to be the default on every food item that you consume. My dad, however, at Thanksgiving, takes up his plate and just puts gravy all over everything, no matter what it is. It could be green beans and he's putting gravy on it. Now, my mom and I, we're not so much gravy people. I'm not really a fan of it. I don't think that it adds a whole lot. It does have a nice flavor, but it's a lot of calories and a lot of fat. And so if someone wants gravy, let them add it themselves. It doesn't need to be a necessary part of their meal. Be mindful of, you know, your portion sizes as you're going along, and people can always ask for more and you can always go up and have more food, but really just be conscious of the things that, you know, you're putting in your mouth, and, you know, kind of stray away, eat more vegetables, and have plenty of water at the table, because that's really going to fill you up as well. Instead of reaching for another roll, reach for a glass of ice water with some lemon. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about during Thanksgiving, is making, you know, non-caloric beverages an option. Most people are just having, you know, eggnog or coffee drinks or soda or juice. And so drink some water before and after your meal, and that's going to keep you fuller during your meal and then continue to leave you with that nice, satisfied, full feeling at the end of your meal. So there are a couple ways to green light it up. I read this article on the Huffington Post, and they are talking about green lighting your holiday meals. And that means make them more health friendly. You know, if you're getting the red light, you know, that's not really healthy for you. If it's more of a yellow light item, it's kind of middle of the road, you know, maybe stuffing or, you know, and then your red light items are going to be like your mashed potatoes with the butter and cream and the pumpkin pie. And so green up your holiday meals. And some easy ways to do this is to bake your turkey. You know, you can choose a plain turkey over a self-basting turkey, and that will really lower the sodium content if that's something that you're concerned about. And if you really want to make sure that your turkey still stays moist, bake it unstuffed and leave the skin on. And then you can remove it from the oven, the internal temperature, you know, it will kind of lock in those juices there. And then you can proceed whichever way you want to. You know, my grandma sometimes doesn't stuff our turkeys because we have to have so much stuffing for our family because we're so large that we don't have enough room to stuff it in there. And so you can just make it on the side. Don't stuff your bird because that's going to take up a lot of that moisture. And just have a better baked turkey. And another one is the candied yams. This, I am not a fan of this, but I know a lot of people are. It's one of my mom's favorite things. But leave off the marshmallows and leave out the margarine. If you can sweeten them up with a little bit of fruit juice, such as apple juice, and then sprinkle them with cinnamon and bake on top. And if you do have to have your marshmallows, I know that's a big must for a lot of people. Just put a few on top. You don't need to cover the entire pan of it. Green bean casserole is known to be a silent killer of Thanksgiving. It's got your green beans and then it's got creamy soup inside. So you're pretty much counteracting any good that you're doing with the vegetables with that creamy soup and then adding those little glorious French fried onions on top. So for a lot of people, that's not something that they realize is such an unhealthy dish. So a nice little trick would be make fresh cut green beans and then mix those in with chunks of potato to kind of bake in there and make it a little bit creamier and a little bit heartier instead of that cream soup. And if you top it with some roasted almonds, they even have like garlic roasted almonds or, you know, herbed roasted almonds, something really yummy. Instead of those fried onion rings, you're going to get a little bit of protein in there with the potatoes and the almonds and significantly reduce your fat content whilst keeping that really good fiber of the green beans. So that's something that I'm really excited to try because I love green beans. They're one of my absolute favorite vegetables in the entire world. Absolutely love them. So one more is to reduce the fat content of your mashed potatoes by using skim milk. And you can still, you know, a lot of people think, oh my gosh, if I don't have the full fat milk and the cream, it's not going to taste as good. Well, you can change things up a little bit and you can make a flavored mashed potato. One way to do that is to use skim milk with some roasted garlic. Roast up some garlic, whether it's in the oven or in a pan, toast it up, and then add them to your mashed potatoes while you're whipping them together. And if you add a little bit of Parmesan cheese instead of whole milk and butter, you're still going to get that tart, creamy flavor without getting all of the calories. So I really am excited to try all those tips. And this is the biggest one that I'm going to recommend for everybody is using the plate method. Imagine your plate divided into thirds and use the first third to fan out, you know, your white meat turkey. You know, I'm going to not eat dark meat this year. I do like dark meat turkey, but I'm going to stick to all white meat this year. And for the second, use salad and your low fat vegetables like your green beans or your cauliflower. And lastly, your third is all of your starches put together. So everything that you need to eat needs to fit into that one third, you know, whether that's your sweet potatoes, your stuffing, or your mashed potatoes, whatever it may be. So try separating your plate like that and kind of see how it goes. You know, that may be something that's a really easy thing for you to do and really save a lot of calories. I have a couple holiday food facts for you here about a typical Thanksgiving meal. So these are the items that are a typical Thanksgiving meal. Turkey, candied sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, cranberry sauce, Caesar salad, mashed potatoes, apple pie with vanilla ice cream, and pumpkin pie. And I found this online on the Huffington Post, and I thought that was so weird that pumpkin pie isn't on there. I am not a pecan pie girl, so I'm just going to pretend that doesn't exist and just swap it out with pumpkin pie. But most people eat 4 ounces of turkey, 1 cup of marshmallows, 1 cup of green beans, or marshmallow and yams, excuse me, 1 cup of green beans, 1/2 cup of cranberry sauce, 1/3 cup of Caesar salad, 1 whole cup of mashed potato, 1/8 pie, plus ice cream and whipped cream. That is a lot of food. That is a lot of things that are going into your body that are just really high calorie. And you know what? It's the holidays. Let yourself live, enjoy yourself. But here are a few holiday traditions that you may be able to kind of alter and change to kind of make your day a little bit more healthy. You know, your Thanksgiving meal doesn't have to start at 7 a.m. You do not have to have pie for breakfast. But if that's something that you like, try some oatmeal in the morning with some pumpkin puree. And that's a trick that I've been using for a long time. And I even use that. I eat oatmeal year round. So that's something that I'd use even if I'm not on Thanksgiving. If you can add a little bit of nutmeg or maybe a little sprinkle of pumpkin pie spice, it's literally going to taste like you're eating a piece of pie for breakfast without all that added sugar, and you're going to get the good fiber of, you know, of the oatmeal in there. And another trick is to work out, and you got to work for it. So go for a jog, or join a lot of places have, you know, the turkey trots. Join one of those as a family. You know, kick off the day by signing up one of those races, and then you're really not going to feel as guilty as indulging in one of those desserts. I'm going to talk about my mom and her personal Thanksgiving tradition here in a little bit. But another one is to get the kids involved. You know, get them up, get them active. Oftentimes they're just going to be sitting around and watching a movie on TV, or, you know, just doing whatever they want to do. So you can go while you're slaving away in the kitchen, make them come with you and allow them to kind of get into the groove of things and get up and get active and take part in those holiday traditions. So those are a few of my tips and tricks, and hopefully these allow you to have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk relationships, and I want to talk to you about Penguin Radio and our journey this semester. So stay right here. We're going to have a quick break here from Harley D with a little bit of weird news, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Everything was okay. Now everything is going fast. You're the best thing I ever had. Oh, I'm losing you. Oh, make me, that would make me feel so bad. Help me say,
just you take your time. Just you take your time.
Sing low and take it slow.
Wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. Carnell Alexander at one point owed $60,000 in child support for a child he did not father and knew nothing about. But despite successfully challenging the claim 20 years ago, he still owes about $30,000. The mother who accused him long ago admitted saying that naming a quote-unquote father was necessary to get welfare benefits. A judge thus wiped out Alexander's debt to her, but the state of Michigan still demands that Alexander repay benefits it had paid to the mother. In October, Andrew Davies was ordered by a high court in England not to lie down in public places anymore, unless genuinely stricken by emergency. Previously, he had a habit of making bogus calls to 911 to get attention. When police confiscated his phone, he began compensating by lying in roads until compassionate passersby called for an ambulance. A Polish doctor says she has been in deep shock since learning that a 91-year-old woman she pronounced dead woke up in the morgue several hours later. The doctor said she was sure the patient was dead after finding, quote, no basic life functions during a morning house call on November 6th. Shortly before midnight, an undertaker who brought in another body noticed the patient was moving inside a bag she had been placed in. Once it was opened, the patient complained of being cold and asked for hot tea, the media said. She was then taken home. More than 6 million students have downloaded the new iPhone app, PhotoMath, to solve Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 problems. Students do this by pointing the camera's phone at a printed equation. The answer and the explanation quickly appear on the screen as a teaching tool, or if students, quote, want to show their work. The Croatia-based developer told the Quartz website in October that it is working on upgrades for higher-level math equations, but no relief is in sight for those chronically pesky word problems. Neighbors in the Mandarin neighborhood of Jacksonville, Florida, complained to the city recently about a resident who scattered hundreds of mothballs around her front yard, even driving over them in her car to crush them open and extend their obnoxious odor. The National Pesticide Information Center warned that the mothballs were hazardous to plants, wildlife, water, and air. But the female resident said she was forced into the tactic in order to prevent neighborhood dogs from defecating in her yard. I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome back. Thank you, Harley D., for that quick little break and that always interesting information. So we're back here. This is DJ Homeschool, and you're listening to Real Life, your Wednesday morning talk show. And coming up, we are talking relationships. And this is my last broadcast of Real Life, at least for this semester. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be back next year. Next year, that sounds so weird to say, but it is. It will be next year. It will be 2015. But I wanted to talk relationships today about my relationship with Penguin Radio. And it has been a very transformative process for me over the last 5 months or the semester. And it's been such an eye-opening and amazing, amazing experience. And I'm going to be honest, this is real life. I was trying to do everything that I could to avoid taking radio class. I tried to sub it out for another class. I tried to get exempt from it. Or I tried to, you know, oh, I have work. I can't take that class. I need to find something else. I did everything that I could. And it just wasn't working. It's a requirement for my major. Well, I just didn't want to do it. You know, there were so many reasons why. I didn't want to have a show. And I didn't want to have, we have class on Friday. We have our Penguin Press Pass. I didn't want to have a Friday commitment. And, you know, I realized that there was no getting out of it. I realized I'm graduating this year, coming to the end of the road. And so it is time to take radio, have a show, and just really embrace it. So I showed up on the first day, and Stu and Leona were there, our teachers, and it instantly was my favorite class. I fell in love with radio that day, and it's just been a blast ever since. The bond that the DJs have is really incredible, and we're just a unified group of people who love communication, we love radio, and we love producing awesome material for all of the listeners. Wednesdays are my favorite day when I get to come in, wake up early, bring my tea into the studio or my coffee, and sit here. I have this amazing, beautiful view of this nice bushy tree outside, and right now it's just dripping with little raindrops. And I get to sit here in this really comfy chair that I keep thinking I'm going to fall out of because we got a new chair and it rocks and it's awesome, but I keep feeling like I'm going to fall out of it. And I get to spend time with our teachers and the other DJs just producing quality content for the listeners, going out and doing research and doing interviews and finding fun things to talk about and interesting information to bring to you. And it has just been one of the most incredible eye-opening journeys. We've had so much fun this semester. We broadcasted Family Weekend together, and that was super exciting. We got to take a mobile broadcast, and we went and we talked to parents who were coming to visit their kids for the first time at Dominican, you know, in their freshman year. We talked to student life about what it's like to live off on campus and the role that they play in the student's experience. We spoke with Julia Welch and her job within the Global Education Office, and she gets kids ready to go take a semester abroad to Greece or to Italy or to China or wherever it may be, Germany.
she puts all of that together. And we talked with the recreational sports teams, and you know, they've gotten a lot of stuff together for us. Kickboxing, paddle boarding, mini golf, all kinds of fun stuff that they've put together for Dominican. And so we got to go and talk with all those people and really just bring the face of Dominican to Penguin Radio. And we did Soul Candy as well, which is a live spoken word or song or dance performance. Whatever it may be, you can go and perform at Soul Candy. And it's this big event that we have at school. And all the DJs really became team players. That was an event that I missed. But all of my other co-DJs, they went. We had one DJ working the light system. And then we had other students doing broadcasting for the event and interviews. And so we really got to kind of take ourselves, take our radio class, take our group, and go out into Dominican and really just integrate the two together. And so that was a really awesome experience, and that's something that I love Dominican for. We are just all, we're a small school on a small campus, and so we're all just really involved in each other's lives. It's nice, you know, we have our radio class, and then we obviously have our shows that are at our own specific times and our own specific places, and you know, everyone's varies, but when we see each other on the streets of Dominican or whatever it may be, or in class, we always check in, and we care about each other's shows, and I've never met a better group of people to be associated with and to work on projects with. Two of my favorite moments from the semester was, one, we got to broadcast from the Giants Parade. Well, we broadcasted here. A couple of us stayed in the studio and we worked on the behind the scenes, and we called into our DJs who were at the Giants Parade in October when they won the World Series. And that was one of the coolest things that I think Penguin Radio has done. We were able to call down with the technology today, get live updates from our DJs that had gone down to the parade. And so we got to have our regular Friday show in two different locations, a bridge and an ocean away. And so that was really, really an awesome experience. And it just really showed me, it really kind of opened up the world of possibility within radio to me. And it showed me that it's not just sitting around and playing music on a radio. I have come to love the post-production aspect of radio. And I love sitting in the studio and, you know, I mean, you guys listen to the shows. You know that, you know, sometimes you cough, or sometimes you yawn, or sometimes you make a mistake on a word. And so you can go back. And what's really great, and Leona is the one that really brought this to my attention, is she goes, you know what's so great? Sound is visible. That's what I love about radio. You can see sound. And so then I'm able to go into post-production and take these shows and get rid of those yawns, get rid of the, oh, or the, you know, the silence. We can get rid of that, and we can alter it and make it your own piece. You know, I have my own shows of real life. That's my work, my research, my opinions, my voice, and just make it this beautiful packaged sound. See right there, something like that. You know, I'll be able to edit that out. And so it's really cool because you're really able to go in and make it whatever you want. It's very formidable, and that I think is so great. And so we've learned so many skills along the way. You know, yes, we walk away with those technical skills of post-production and broadcasting a show, but we've learned so many life skills as well. You know, teamwork. We have Penguin Press Pass, and we all have an individual story, two stories actually, that we have to read. And we have a facilitator and an engineer and a social media broadcast. And we have all of these things, and it really has taught us to work together and to problem solve. And, you know, last Friday, we all showed up and four of us had written the wrong stories. We all had mixed up our beats that day. And so it was something that we got to tackle. And those are real life situations. Given it might not be a radio, but it might be a report. You run the wrong report or print out the wrong Excel document before a meeting. So you got to hustle and you got to figure out how to make that right for your boss. And so that's something that Leona and Stu have been so great with us this past semester, about teaching us these real life skills that we can implement in a radio station, as well as real life, and whether that be, you know, in the job force or whatever, grad school, whatever it may be. So I really just love all the DJs, and they've been an amazing group to work with. And, you know, I am going to miss them. I'm going to miss seeing them 2 to 3 to 4 times a week. You know, a lot of us have other classes together, and so hopefully we'll be able to keep in contact and do more broadcasts. And we all just worked on a huge project together, and it was so much fun, and we made a podcast that was in place of a test, and I thought that was really awesome and really innovative of Stu and Leona. Is we took our 6 chapters of our book that we had been reading, and we made them into a podcast that someone would be able to listen to and learn about radio as a form of a test. And I thought that was so great. We all could work together and have individual jobs and share notes and coordinate and help each other interview and record our voices and edit over them. And someone got all the music for the podcast. And so I was just really proud of our cohesiveness together. And I just want to thank all of the DJs for an amazing semester, and Stu and Leona, our teachers, for being on call 24/7 for, you know, freakouts over our shows or writer's block over our scripts, and providing us with these innovative opportunities to broadcast and strengthen our technical skills and just create a innovative and well-rounded learning classroom and be our support system on and off the air. It's really been an amazing semester, and I love all of them for that. So I am going to, now that I've gotten my emotional side out, we're going to wrap up our last segment of Real Life with a little bit of thankfulness and talk about Thanksgiving tradition, because this would not be a holiday season Thanksgiving show without talking about thankfulness. And I realize that everyone has a lot of different traditions, and I have some, and some of them might be a little bit unconventional for the average Joe. And one of them, I said that I was going to talk about this when we talked about fitness, is my mom's Thanksgiving tradition of her own personal liking, but how she's also integrated my sisters and I into this. So what she does is a 7 at 7, and it's 7 miles at 7 a.m. And she always jokes and she says it should not be called a 7 at 7 because it is not 7 miles. It is more than 7 miles. But my mom is a runner. And so she goes and runs this course with a bunch of other people every Thanksgiving morning. And it's been something that she's been doing for over 10 years. And she's an amazing runner, and she runs up through the hills and back down through a canyon, which my grandparents' house happens to be at the foot of. So while my mom and, you know, it used to be just a couple other people, and I think last year there were like 30 people or something crazy. So my mom and all these other people, they do this run, and my sisters and I go over to my grandparents' house, and we set up a little table because their house is right at the halfway point. It's like 3.5-4 miles. So we set up a table with Gatorade and water for the runners, and we get to watch our mom go pass by, give her a hug, tell her to keep going, and see all those other people running along the street, and really just kind of bring them a little nice quick break halfway, you know, halfway through their run. And it's down a long narrow street, and so there they can take a cup and drink it as they're running along. You know, they can just swoop and run, and then they can just leave it on the ground, and my sisters and I can go pick it up because it's just right there. And you know, that's very traditional in the running format. But so that's something that we've done since for the last 10 years. So at least since I was 9 or 10 years old. And that's a tradition that I absolutely love. My mom loves to start her day off with a run. And we always go to my grandma's, and while we're waiting for the runners and when they're done, we're over there, we're in our pajamas, and we get to sit and watch the parade with her, and just kind of have, we usually have chai tea. And so that's something that I hold really near and dear to my heart every year. And, you know, then after this run, we go home and we usually finish baking the desserts. My family, my household, my individual five, we are in charge of making desserts for the Thanksgiving dinner. My grandma does a lot of the cooking. My mom's mom, my other grandma, Grandma Janice, she does a lot of the appetizer making. She makes the world's best deviled eggs and pinwheels that are like tortillas with cream cheese and green chili and ham rolled up and cut in cute little rolls. Oh my gosh, so good. So she's in charge of making all those, but we make desserts. And so after this run, we go home and we tend to finish up the last bit of the pies or make another batch of cookies while my mom soaks in a bath. And, you know, maybe this year I'll have to tell her that she should, you know, take a milk bath, and that'll really kind of cleanse and exfoliate her skin, you know, kind of go against that harsh winter weather, because we know we're going to be experiencing some of that in Arizona this year. And so then we go back over to my grandma's house, and that's where we have Thanksgiving every year. You know, we tried to have Thanksgiving at our house one year, and my mom and dad were really awesome, and, you know, we had it outside, and so they rented, like, a tent, like a wedding tent, and heaters, like outdoor heaters to go within, and we rented tables and chairs and had this beautiful, beautiful Thanksgiving dinner. But we all were like, yeah, let's not do that ever again. This is just not the same. Thanksgiving is supposed to be at grandma's, and that is just where it's meant to be. Like I said, sometimes I am a stickler for tradition. And it's a really great day. We all come over and we watch football and have snacks. And we do this fairly early. You know, my mom runs at 7, and then she takes a bath, and then we go back over to grandma's. So we're usually there by 11 or noon. And then we start snacking. You know, we're that bad family that starts eating early on and just continues to eat all day long. But it's really fun, and we're all together, and we play games, and we hang out, and we just get to spend time together. So we all end up usually around 3, we have a huge meal that my grandma makes, and, you know, it's always so delicious, and there's always at least 10 or 15 of us. Sometimes there's up to 20 of us if, you know, some of our extended family comes. So we have this nice early meal, and then we nap. But another little fun tradition that my family has that some people might not do is we always go to the movies on Thanksgiving. That's something that we love to do. We actually do it on Christmas too. My family's a big movie family. We like to go to the theaters. And so we have our meal early, and then it's never really busy because most people have their Thanksgiving at the end of the evening, and that we've already had that. So we go to the movies, and then we come back, and we have a really nice, you know, sandwich or leftovers or whatever it may be, and then just kind of hang out as a family for the rest of the night. We love to play games. We play Bananagrams, and it's kind of like a fast version of Scrabble. And let me tell you, that is one of the most competitive things of my life. My family gets really into it. But then we rest, we go to bed, break up the day, and we generally go Black Friday shopping, but we have a rule that there's no shopping on Thanksgiving because that is family time, and it's time that you're supposed to be celebrating, and we're not going to support, you know, retail stores being opened at that time. So we always go Black Friday shopping, but only on Friday and only around 10 o'clock. There's still a lot of stuff left. Usually we're not big, like, electronic buyers on that type of day, and so usually there's everything that we still need to have that next day once we're well fed, well rested. So those are my holiday traditions that I am so absolutely excited for to be coming up. And I just want everyone out there, all of you listeners, to enjoy your holiday, no matter what your holiday traditions are. Remember to always be thankful. And I am so thankful for this opportunity to have had a wonderful radio show and be a part of such an amazing institution here at Penguin Radio. So I wish you all a happy and healthy Thanksgiving, and always remember to keep it real. Good morning, Penguin Radio. You've got DJ Homeschool here with Real Life, and this is my 10th and final show, and it just, oh my gosh, it's amazing how quickly it got here. I just remember my first show, and